Chapter 5, Spitting Image. There's a place I go inside my head sometimes. It's cool and dim in there, and you float like a cloud. No, you are a cloud. The kind you see in the sky on a windy day. The way they keep changing shape, except you can't really see it changing. Sort of just happens, and suddenly you realize the cloud looks like a big hand with fat fingers, now looks like a catcher's mitt, or a big soft TV set. Like that. Anyhow, I went there right after Fair Gwynn ran off with that look on her face. Like, what was he doing with my poor little boy? Stealing him away in that wagon? What I do is lie on the floor under my bed, where you can just barely see the bed springs and stuff because it's so dark. And before long, I'm somewhere else, sort of floating, and it's so cool and empty in there, and you don't have to think about anything. You're nothing. You're nobody. Nothing matters. You're not even there. Time out. Except this time, I can't stay as long as I'd like. Because Graham is knocking on the door, going, Maxwell, Max, are you in there? Please answer me, dear. It's important. Yeah, right. But I wedge myself out from under the bed. There's getting to be less and less room under there. And I dust myself off and open the door. There's no lock. But Graham has this thing about waiting until I come in. And she makes a big deal about not intruding. Maxwell, she says, as she takes a little step inside the room, and you can tell she'd rather not be here. She makes this face because the place is dark and messy, and probably it smells like my socks or whatever. Max, dear, I'm sorry to bother. You know I never come into the basement, but I just got a call from Gwynn Avery, and I think it's important. Uh-oh, I'm thinking. Now the fair Gwynn is calling up my Graham, probably to port a great hulking beast that lives in the cellar, and I close up inside waiting for the worst. She called to say how sorry she was, Graham is saying. Huh? I guess she came to pick up her little boy. Is that right? You and Kevin were making friends? Making friends? What a wet idea that is. But Graham is getting her feelings hurt pretty easy, so I didn't actually say that. What I say is, yeah, I guess so. Graham is uneasy. I can see her eyes flitting nervously around the room, like she's crossing the border into a really foreign country. This is as good as a place as any to mention that even though Graham is my grandmother, she doesn't look like a granny. She looks more like a mother, because she was, and she always says, a mere child myself. When my real mom was born. Well, I get the impression poor Gwynn wasn't expecting to see you looking so big, and now she thinks she's offended you. Does that make any sense? I guess so. You know her, huh? Oh my, yes, said Graham. Gwynn was a good friend of your mother's. They were both pregnant at the same time. Then later you and little Kevin went to the same daycare. Did you know that? I give a shrug because I don't really like Graham to know how much I remember about way back then. Graham is saying, she said, she especially wanted me to tell you this, Max. She said she's delighted that you and Kevin are going to be friends. That the word she used was delighted. And she's inviting you to supper. First thing, without thinking, I say, do I have to? Graham reaches out and she put her hand on my shoulder. Real light and feathery. You can feel how nervous she is just to touch me, and how it makes her uncomfortable to have to look up at me. Because did I mention I'm a lot bigger than Graham? Bigger than Grim, too. Bigger than most people. It's true. Graham says she feels bad about how she treated you, Maxwell, dear, and she wants to make it up to you. You don't have to go, but it would be the right thing to do. It was no big deal, I say. She just ran away, it's all. I guess I scared her. It wasn't you, Graham says. No? Then who was it that scared her? Now she's got her tongue stuck. And you can see her swallowing it in her throat, like her mouth is dry. I'll just leave that to Gwynn, she says. She's quite a remarkable young woman, you know? Raising that poor boy all on her own? He's not a poor boy, I say. You should hear him talk. I think the rest of him is so small because his brain is so big. Yes, says Graham. Well, well. Graham is always saying that. Well, well. Like it means something, which I guess it does to her. Anyhow, I agree to have supper with Freak and his mom, even though the idea of it makes me feel tensed up. Like there is a hand inside my stomach and the hand is, you know, making a fist. It turns out to be not so bad. The fair Gwynn right away She's beaming at me, bouncing around the kitchen and talking a mile a minute. So fast the words are coming out all smushed together. So did Susan excuse me, your grandmother, mention your mother and I were pals, that is, until she got married? Excuse me, I never could buy that man. I always thought he was crazy and scary. Is it okay to say that to you? Won't you be offended? It's like this delay while I sort it all out. And then I go, yeah, Graham told me. And the stuff about her knowing my father and thinking he was sick in the head, I decide no comment is the way to go. You were the cutest little baby, Gwen says. I remember like it was yesterday. We were all of us living over in the tenements in those days because the rent was so cheap and we were all just starting out. Freak is on the floor, digging through the packing boxes and for pots and pans and stuff. He's almost inside this box. All you can see is his funny little rear end sticking out. You think he was maybe 2 years old. That's how small he is. Until you notice where his leg brace makes a lump in his pants. From inside the box, he goes, "Hey, Gwen, leave this guy alone, huh? You're going to go spastic." "Am I?" Gwen says. She's at the counter going through the drawers and looking for spoons or whatever. "Sorry, Max. That is, I'm sorry we got off on the wrong foot. It's just, you know." Freak's head pops out of the box and he's got this wicked know-it-all grin. "What she means is, you're a spitting image of your old man." Gwen says, "Kevin, please." And her voice is real small, like she's embarrassed. "Yeah," I say, "everybody says that." "They do?" I shrug. "Is it really such a big deal for a boy to look like his father?" Which is a typical butthead thinking. Because of course it's a big deal if your father happens to be in prison, which everybody in town knows about. It's not like there's any secret about what he did or why he's there, except everybody acts like it should be a secret. And the bigger I grow, the more I look like my old man, and the worse it gets. "You really knew him?" I say. I mean him and my mom when they were together. "Not very well," Gwen says. She's looking for a knife to slice open a package of hot dogs. "I never saw much of your mom after they got married. He made it difficult for your mother to have any friends." There's a knife on the table and I pick it up and I hand it to the fair Gwen. She doesn't flinch away and I decide she's okay. She's really pretty cool. So Freak is saying, "When do we eat? My fuel cells are depleting." Supper is great. The fair Gwen makes this really tasty potato salad with spices and stuff. Way better than the mushy stuff Graham makes. And we have hot dogs fried in a pan with the buns toasted up butter crisp, just the way I like. And two kinds of relish and three kinds of mustard and red onions cut up real small. We sit outside in the backyard eating from paper plates and Freak tells robot stories that are so strange and funny I'm laughing like a maniac and then I'm choking. And Freak is pounding me on the back. "Expel the object," Freak shouts. "Regurgitate, you big moron." And he gives me another thump and I cough up this yucky mess. But I'm still laughing so hard my nose is running. What a goon, except for it really is funny. Me trying to sneeze a hot dog through my nose and we're both laughing like total morons. "This is great," Gwen says, looking at Freak and me. "I'm so glad we decided to move back, you know? I feel like we're getting a fresh start." It's time to go home. Graham gets nervous if I'm not back before dark. Everything seems really great, just like Gwen says, except for when I lie down on my bed, it hits me, boom, and I'm crying like a baby. And the really weird thing is, I'm happy.